A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Welcome to another edition of Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. My name is Cam Edwards. Glad you're with me on the program today. Hopefully you had a good Memorial Day weekend and enjoyed the weather, but also, you know, thought about why we are honoring those who have given their lives in service of this country. It is often forgotten on Memorial Day weekend. I feel kind of bad. Normally, my tradition on Memorial Day is to, when I lived in Northern Virginia, I would go to the Alexandria National Cemetery because that was the sort of forgotten National Cemetery in the Northern Virginia area. We don't have a National Cemetery anywhere near Farmville. So what I have done in recent years is I've gone to Appomattox Courthouse in the National Park there, and there is a small cemetery of the remains of some of those who passed away in the closing days of the Civil War. And I have gone there to say thank you to those who have given their lives in defense of this nation. I did not have a chance to do that this past weekend, so I'm going to make the trek out there hopefully one afternoon this week after I get done with work. The evening hours, I should be able to get out there, spend a little bit of time there, but hopefully you had a good weekend. Coming up this coming weekend, we have a huge event taking place in Chicopee, Massachusetts. If you are in the New England area and you are a Second Amendment advocate, you want to be at the Firearms Advocacy Conference coming up on Saturday. And I had the opportunity to talk today with Holly Sullivan. You know Holly from her work with the Connecticut Citizens Defense League. Holly and I also serve on the board of the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms. And Holly has spearheaded this conference. It is going to be an amazing event. Again, if you can make it to Chicopee, Mass this weekend, I strongly encourage you to do so. I think it is really going to be, it has the opportunity to be a game-changing experience for Second Amendment advocates in the New England area. And I am so pleased that Holly has devoted so much time and energy to putting this event together. Was really pleased that you could sit down and talk about it for a couple of minutes with us. Take a look and a listen. Holly, thanks so much for coming on the program. It's good to see you again.
Thanks for having me, as always.
Yeah, absolutely. Welcome to the start of a very, very busy week. Hopefully you had a nice, restful three-day weekend, because coming up this weekend, we have the New England Firearms Advocacy Conference. This is a really, really cool event, and honestly, this was your brainchild. You have been running with this. I know you've got a lot of great volunteers who are helping you out, but what is the purpose behind the New England Firearms Advocacy Conference, first of all?
Well, this is an event that's being hosted by the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms, which is a 501c4 organization that has been doing this amazing work since 1971. So really, I'm really excited to really relight this fire with CC, our KBA. And what I think is really cool about this conference is that we're doing something that really hasn't been done before. We are bringing together the six New England states to have the in-depth policy conversations, what's happening in our legislatures, what's happening in our courts, what's happening within our own state 2A organizations, and how do we start moving the needle the other direction? Much of New England, most of the population of New England lives behind what I call the blue curtain, right? So we live in very hostile territory for the Second Amendment. And I think what's great about this conference is that for the first time, we're getting all these folks together to talk about how do we make a real difference? How do we get to know everybody that's moving in our space? How do we open up these lanes of dialogue and start changing the conversation going forward?
Yeah, and I mean, again, you talk about that blue wall. I mean, you're dealing with this in Connecticut. Obviously, you've got the Glock ban bill that passed out of the legislature. Rhode Island is still dealing with that assault weapon ban bill that would ban the possession of so-called assault weapons. It hasn't moved out of committee, thankfully, but there's still a couple weeks left in the session. You know, and even the states that we think of as Second Amendment friendly, like New Hampshire, we recently saw a campus carry bill die because the state Senate and the House could not get together and even agree to form a conference committee to hammer out the differences in that legislation. So even in the pro-gun states, there are challenges that Second Amendment groups are dealing with. But honestly, I mean, I think as a whole, New England is a hostile place for our right to keep and bear arms, even though we know that there are plenty of gun owners there, right? Is one of the things, I guess, is something, one of the things on the agenda, looking at how to activate those gun owners who who live in states like Connecticut or Massachusetts, but maybe feel like there's no point in being an activist because you're just going to get hosed by the legislature anyway?
Yeah, absolutely. Not only are we talking about what's happening in the legislature now, but we're actually going to be ending up our conversation with a dialogue about critical elections. Like, it is not enough to wait until legislative session and think that you are going to win then. You have to be winning in the election cycle in order to give your friendly pro-2A folks up in your Capitol building enough peers to work with that they can actually get things done. So we're going to have a lot of conversations throughout the day about not only what's happening in the legislature, what's happening in the court, but we're going to be ending on a high note of like, how do we actually get ahead of it? And there's really only one way to really get ahead of that, and that is changing the makeup of your legislature.
Yeah. And again, I mean, this is something that you're dealing with in Connecticut right now, right? Because you saw a party line vote, I think it was, on this clock ban bill down the line.
We had 15 Democrats come over, which was really unheard of.
Wow.
So compared to where we were with like HB 6667, which was very close to party lines, not completely party lines. We've definitely had a lot of party line votes on things. But the Glock bill, and this is where I think we start finding that we are making successes. One of the panels that we're going to, or it's a fireside chat that we're going to have, is actually talking to a pro Second Amendment Democrat in Massachusetts. How do we start having conversations with the other side of the aisle? Because the reality is much of New England is the other side of the aisle. So we cannot just simply exist in our bubble and think that we can do it only within one party. We have to be talking to both parties. And how do you do that? Actually, our Glock ban, we actually had 15 House reps come over that voted against it from the Democrat Party, which is a massive, I'm not going to ever call it a win or a victory for us, but it is progress for us here in Connecticut and with CCDL.
Yeah, that is huge progress. And honestly, I apologize for just assuming that this was that down the line vote. I'm fascinated by the fireside chat that you're going to be hosting, because you're right. I mean, the reality is, you look at Massachusetts. Well, I think there are three Republican senators, not many more representatives. It is more than a supermajority for Democrats in that legislature. So you're right. If you do want to make inroads, if you do want to be able to stop bad bills and start to progress good bills, right? I mean, that's the other aspect of this, right? It's not just playing defense, but boy, how do we go on offense? How do we start clawing back some of these rights? You know, you are going to need to have pro-gun Democrats. And that's tough, because the Democrat Party overall is extremely hostile to our right to keep and bear arms. So I'm fascinated to hear how this pro-gun Democrat sits within the Democrat Party. And how do they, maintain their support for the Second Amendment in a party that is so hostile to our right to keep and bear arms? This, again, just one of the mini sessions that are going to be taking place. And this is a one-day event, right?
Right. Just one day. So if you most folks in New England are drivable, which is why we put it in Chicopee, Massachusetts. Chicopee, Massachusetts sits really at that junction of the highways where Vermont can come down, New Hampshire can come down. It's a little harder for Northern Maine. I'll give them some credit. They're definitely going to have the furthest hustle. Rhode Island can get there. Obviously, everyone in Massachusetts can get there, and Connecticut can get there. Really, Chicopee was the place to go, which is the greater Springfield area. If you can get, just Google Springfield, that's where we're going to be. We're just in the town right north of it. But, there's a lot of progress to be made. And kind of getting back to your point, we were very surprised. We had a legislator here in Connecticut that is a Democrat and has typically been a hurdle for us on Second Amendment issues. He actually really moved forward a bill to refund residents if their permit doesn't get approved. And like, those are like even your small victories. If you find those small victories where you can start winning with folks on the other side of the aisle, that's how you build trust and dialogue and rapport with folks. And then you can get into the really hard conversations, right? So if you don't know somebody from Adam and you just go in and you're arguing about something as big as like an assault weapon ban, right? You may be shut down from go. But if you've worked with them for 10 years and you start to find like these small bills that you guys totally agree on, start there, start having the conversations. Like, you don't expect somebody, you're not going to go out of your way for somebody who you don't know out of anywhere, but you're certainly going to have a lot more to talk to them about if you've gotten to know them and they've put the work in over a few years and you've built some degree of trust. Yeah. So I think those are, you know, and we're still getting there. Like these are like new developments for us that we are starting to build these relationships on the other side, you know, in, so we have Senator Winfield, who historically, like, we've gone back and forth with the senator many, many times through the years on various issues. He tends not to vote with us on Second Amendment issues. It was his birthday, the day that we happened to have public hearing. I think every single one of our CCDL members that went up there, dozens of people were like, happy birthday, Senator. And you start to like, then it becomes kind of a joke at the end of the day, you know? But when you start humanizing one another once again, then you start having real conversations about like, hey, where can we start to fix these things? And it doesn't have to be as nasty as sometimes it becomes. And I think that that is a larger conversation within the Second Amendment community as well, right? And I think that's where this conference is going to be really powerful, is we're bringing together all the different states that maybe don't often work together and say, like, get to know one another. How can we help each other? How can we give you information that maybe we've already learned or learned the hard way? How can we start bridging these dialogues and building bridges that don't exist today? And that's what I think this conference is going to be so valuable in doing.
Absolutely. And, you know, taking this away from the online space too, where, you know, nastiness is the currency, I think, honestly, right? And if you're not with me 100%, then, you know, you're a turncoat, you're a sellout, I don't want to talk to you.
Right.
I mean, the reality is in politics, as you say, you know, if you can make inroads, is CCDL going to endorse somebody who's with you 10% of the time? Probably not. But are you going to take advantage of that 10% to try to move the ball forward? Absolutely. You'd be a fool not to, right? I mean, that's how you become effective politically, is you work where you can to make the gains that you can. And again, those conversations, maybe if you're talking to that politician about the 10% you agree on, maybe those conversations all of a sudden now they're at 20% or they're at 25%. You keep that conversation going, and maybe you can change attitudes and you can change votes. So that's another reason why I think this is such an important conference. I really wish that I could be there in person, but you were gracious enough to let me send a video. Do folks need to register beforehand? I mean, if they want to go this weekend, A, where in Chicopee is it? And B, how do you sign up? How do you get involved? How do you show up?
Absolutely. So definitely, I strongly encourage folks to please buy a ticket in advance. The venue needs the head count to buy enough food because we are going to feed you all day long. Okay. So we're going to have a pastry spread in the morning with coffee. We'll make sure you have water and beverages throughout the day. And then also we're going to be feeding you lunch. Huge gratitude to our sponsor of this event, which is USCCA, for helping us make that possible. So for only $25 from 9 to 4:30, you're going to get legislators, you're going to get attorneys, you're going to hear Second Amendment groups, there's tables in the back, you can wander, there's going to be prizes drawn throughout the day. For $25, you're getting a lot for that commitment, but please let us know you're coming in advance. I'm not going to turn you away at the door because obviously I really want everybody to get this information, but it is really, really helpful for us to please register in advance. And it's super easy to buy a ticket. You just go to, so the organization again that is hosting this is the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms, but that's abbreviated as just ccrkba.org and then /FAC for Firearms Advocacy Conference, and you can buy your ticket right there. And please do so. Ideally, we're going to air on Tuesday. If you buy it by the day you're hearing, this would be great.
Okay. Yeah, and full disclosure, both Holly and I are volunteer board members at the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms, so I can tell you firsthand the amount of time and energy and effort that Holly has put into this event. I think it's going to be absolutely fantastic. Holly, you are a Second Amendment champion, not just in Connecticut, but really across the country. And I know this has been a lot of long days and a lot of short nights, but I hope that this is going to be just as successful as possible. And I really appreciate you joining me on the program to talk about it today.
Well, thank you for having me, Cameron. I'm just very excited. And I'm really looking for positive change. And I think this is where it starts. And if you don't live in the New England area, don't worry about it, because we are going to be coming your direction. Just give us time and we'll be spreading this around the country as well.
Awesome. Holly Sullivan, thank you so much for joining me on the program, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you.
And thanks once again to Holly for being with us on the program today. She's going to join us next Tuesday as well for an after action report. We'll talk about how things went. I'm very curious to hear more about that fireside chat. And, you know, I mean, it's interesting because we talk again about the political dichotomy right now, right? And generally speaking, Republicans are pro-Second Amendment. Generally speaking, Democrats are anti-Second Amendment. And you may see some differences at the margins, right? You've got in Congress Representative Brian Fitzpatrick, Republican from Pennsylvania, who I think was A-rated by Giffords last go-round. Jared Golden, the retiring representative from Maine, probably the closest thing we have to a pro-gun Democrat in Congress at the moment. And, you know, even at the state level, I mean, you just saw in Minnesota, there were several rural state senators, Democrats, who had previously resisted things like a ban on so-called assault weapons. They all three went along with it this time around. In Virginia, boy, we could use a couple of pro-gun Democrats. So forging those relationships, I think, really is key. Do we want every politician to be 100% with us 100% of the time? Yeah, absolutely we do. Is that reality? No, it's not. And particularly when you are behind that blue wall, as Holly talked about, you know, again, I'm not going to say that somebody who votes with gun owners 10% of the time is an ally, but we better take advantage of that 10%, right? And try to turn that individual into a 20% or a 30% or ultimately, again, the goal being a 100%. But you don't do that by shutting them down. As difficult as it can be to have those conversations and to try to forge those relationships, that really is crucial. When you're in a state like Connecticut or Massachusetts or, you know, Rhode Island, in terms of keeping the rights that you have and restoring the rights that were lost. All right, let's turn our attention to today's Armed Citizen story, our good deed of the day, and our Citivist report. But before we do that, I want to talk about this for a second. You know, Father's Day is coming up, and if you are looking for a good Father's Day present, either for yourself or for somebody else, I have a recommendation for you. From city streets to mountain trails, your gear should go wherever life takes you. And that is why at Modern Rugged Leather, every bag, including this one, is handcrafted from premium, responsibly sourced leather. It's designed to look sharp. It's designed to last long and to tell a story all its own. Every stitch, every buckle, every strap reflecting timeless craftsmanship. And it's backed by a lifetime warranty because quality shouldn't quit when the adventure begins. So whether it's the boardroom or the back roads, Modern Rugged Leather helps you carry confidence every step of the way. Modern Rugged Leather. Modern style. Timeless durability. Backed for life. Life takes you places. Make sure your gear keeps up. Shop the full collection and find yours today, in time for Father's Day, at modernrugged.com. Again, that is modernrugged.com. All right. On to today's Armed Citizen story, our good deed of the day. And our recidivist report, I'm just going to put my Modern Rugged bag here back beside me. There we go. We will start with a case out of Minnesota where a second teen has been sentenced for an armed robbery in Rochester, Minnesota. We recently featured another incident out of Rochester where this, again, was a robbery case, ultimately suspended down to time served. I suppose this is a little bit better in this particular robbery. 19-year-old Nicholas Jordan Cheng was sentenced to 6 months in jail and 5 years in probation. He was also given a 57-month prison sentence that was stayed in its entirety that could be imposed if he fails to complete his probation. Cheng pleaded guilty back in February to a charge of aiding and abetting first-degree aggravated robbery that was part of a plea deal that saw two other felony robbery charges dropped completely. According to court records, Cheng and 18-year-old his 18-year-old accomplice charged in December after a SWAT team, Rochester police, and Plainview police executed a pair of search warrants in Plainview and Rochester connected to an investigation into a robbery that had been reported in Rochester, Minnesota in early December. The criminal complaints against Cheng and his co-defendant say three young men told investigators they'd arranged to meet Cheng and his co-defendant to sell them clothing. When they got there, Cheng and his co-defendant showed up on foot, then allegedly pulled guns on the victims, demanded that they turn over the clothing for free. Also demanded the victim's cell phones and shoes. So they could not run away, and they could not call police. Yeah. Ching's co-defendant entered into a plea agreement in February, admitted to two counts of first-degree aggravated robbery. He got 78 months in prison. That was not stayed. He will likely have to do about half that sentence. But again, his co-defendant, who participated in this robbery, just like he did, 6 months in jail. He'll get credit, I'm sure, for time spent behind bars awaiting trial. So how much of that six-month sentence he has yet to serve? Open question. And once again, the most serious charges dropped and the prison sentence stayed for this young defendant there in Minnesota. And rather than get tough on armed robbers, again, Democrats in the Minnesota legislature decided to go after law-abiding gun owners this session. Thankfully, they were not successful, but they will be making a campaign issue out of the Republicans' refusal to go along with bans on so-called assault weapons and large-capacity magazines in the wake of the shooting at Annunciation Church in Minneapolis last August. Republicans, meanwhile, again, they offered a plan that would have given tens of millions of dollars in funding to both public and private schools to upgrade school security. Democrats would not go along with that unless there was a gun and magazine ban attached. And I hope that Republicans on the campaign trail will remind the voters of that every opportunity that they get. That if you're concerned about the lack of security in your kid's school, we could have done something about it. But Democrat lawmakers wouldn't do it. Not unless we said, okay, fine. We can ban some of the most commonly owned firearms in the country, too. Now, today's armed citizen story from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The Frankfort neighborhood in particular, where a Royal Farms shooting was deemed self-defense by police, although a bystander has been charged with tampering with evidence. Royal Farms is a gas station convenience store chain, like Sheetz or Wawa. You know, you've got your deli counter, you've got your gas pumps, everything else there. This was a Sunday night. According to police, a 22-year-old man pulled a gun, on a 21-year-old man. The 21-year-old man had a gun of his own. He's a valid concealed carry holder in Pennsylvania. He drew his pistol, shot the 22-year-old who was pointing a gun at him. The 22-year-old was transported to a Temple Hospital, where he later passed away from his injuries. Apparently, based on the surveillance video, based on eyewitness testimony, it was pretty clear that the 21-year-old was acting in self-defense. He was not even taken into custody at the scene, which is somewhat unusual. Oftentimes, you know, you'll be taken in for questioning. You won't necessarily be formally arrested, but that did not happen. A 45-year-old man was arrested at the scene, though, for interfering with the evidence as well as the victim. Police report that immediately after the shooting, the man approached the 22-year-old, began filming and taking pictures of the victim. He then approached the victim's gun that had been dropped and kicked it underneath nearby trash cans. Don't know why the 45-year-old would have done that. Either of those incidents, honestly. Filming and taking pictures of somebody who just been shot seems awfully ghoulish to me. Interfering with a crime scene, yeah, that's going to get you in some trouble. And so the 45-year-old, again, facing charges of tampering with evidence. Finally today, our good deed of the day. In the right place, at the right time, willing able to do the right thing. A good Samaritan in Oregon who rescued someone trapped in their burning car in the town of Wilsonville over the weekend. According to Fox 12 in Oregon, crash happened Sunday night about 8 p.m. The Tualatin Valley Fire and Rescue said a car left the roadway, crashed into a creek alongside the road. One person was able to get out of the vehicle on their own, but a second person was trapped inside as the car caught fire. A bystander saw what was going on, stopped. Emergency crews had not yet arrived, and he used a strap that he had in his car to pull the trapped person out of the burning vehicle. Firefighters were able to put out the flames when they got there. They provided medical care to both of the occupants, who were taken to a local hospital. One person had serious injuries and was later taken to a trauma center. But both survived that initial crash and the flames that ignited afterwards because of that good Samaritan in the right place at the right time and willing and able to do the right thing. So whoever that anonymous good Samaritan is, we thank them for their very good deed. And I want to thank you for being a part of the program. As always, I'm looking forward to seeing you back here again tomorrow for our Hump Day Wednesday edition of Bearing Arms Cam and Company. The holiday week is going to have me screwed up all week long. I'm going to be a day behind, but tomorrow is Wednesday. And I'm looking forward to seeing you back here for another edition of Bearing Arms Cam and Company. I would encourage you, though, to check out BearingArms.com throughout the day today. We're keeping you up to date on all of the latest Second Amendment news and information from all across the nation. We had nothing come out of the Supreme Court today. No news on the hardware cases, so those will probably be relisted for the next conference, as frustrating as that is. But we do have some legislative items to look at and much more, so be sure to check that out. If you like what you see, would also encourage you to become a VIP, VIP Gold or VIP Platinum member. Just go to BearingArms.com/subscribe, use the promo code FIGHT, and take 60% off your membership. No matter what tier of support you choose, you'll be supporting the work we're doing at Bearing Arms, and I want to thank you for that very much, because your support does matter, and it really does make a difference. Enjoy the rest of your 2A Tuesday. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Until then, be well, be safe, and be free.